Let's introduce Miriam properly now. Miriam Akhtar is a positive psychologist. She holds a master's degree in applied positive psychology, described on her website as the science of optimal human function and well-being. Positive psychologists are described as individuals whose practice will make the world a happier place. Read us your piece.
Sitting in a puddle on the kitchen floor, cursing a broken dishwasher, was not exactly the moment I expected to have an epiphany, but that was the turning point when my life began to move in the direction of happiness. Right from when I was a young girl, the one thing I knew for sure was by the time that Big Ben was ringing in the millennium, I would be celebrating with my beloved and our children. That was my destiny. But although I went into my 30s in a relationship, a breakup led to me morphing into a Bridget Jones-style singleton. Every birthday I wondered if this was the year that things would change. There were clues that motherhood might not be my fate. Just like Bridget Jones, I had a creative job in an industry where over 50% of women in their 30s and 40s are childless. When you're married to the job, it's very easy to miss out on the landmarks in life that we all take for granted, like children. I took a sabbatical to deal with the big question that all Bridget Jones have to face. If I'm not going to have children, then what am I going to do with my life? Taking time out turned out to be not such a good idea, because it gave me too much space to dwell on what was wrong. The doctor confirmed it was depression. Like Bridget Jones, I reached for the self-help books. But it felt like putting on a happy face to hide an undercurrent of despair. I tried antidepressants, but the side effects left me feeling worse. I went for therapy, but the thought of discussing my unhappiness again left me upset before, during, and after the sessions. The turning point came one morning when I noticed a funny smell coming from the dishwasher. Now, one of the roots of my misery was not having someone around who, in theory at least, was born to DIY. Feeling bluer than blue, I thrashed around with some tools until a pipe burst and the kitchen flooded. I sat there, defeated on the damp floor. I'd spent months focusing on how bad I was feeling and where had it got me? To a bill for an emergency plumber. I realised then that I was going to have to find my own way out of depression. So out went the therapy, the pills and the gurus, and instead I looked into the research generated by positive psychology, the scientific study of well-being. What I learnt, I applied to myself, and gradually, just like a dimmer switch, the darkness began to recede, and I found myself coming into a lighter place. In the process, I found not only a route out of depression, but a purpose in life, thanks to a load of dirty dishes.
Miriam Akhtar, this is off the page. My other two guests are Lucy Mangan and Phil Hammond. You're a positive psychologist. What's one of them?
Positive psychology is a branch of psychology which studies the positive aspects in life, like what makes us well, what makes us happy, what makes us flourish. And it evolved in the 90s as very much as a reaction to the direction that psychology had taken, which was always focusing, which had become focusing on curing mental illness. And I sort of left behind the other aspiration of the science, which was looking at what enhances well-being. You know, how can we nurture the talents, the strengths that we have? So that's what a positive psychologist does, looks at those aspects and applies it to people, help them develop their capacity for happiness, act from strength, nurture their talents.
And Phil, as a doctor, most of doctoring is related, I think, from getting people from a minus state of happiness to neutral, and Miriam is taking people from neutral to positive.
Yeah, I'm quite jealous, actually. I've sort of reached that state in my own mind that I want to be a pleasure coach rather than a doctor. What I loved about Miriam's piece, I've just done a programme on Radio 4 about metaphor in healing, and that people generally use metaphors to describe how they're healing, or how they're feeling, because the complexity of it is too hard to deal with. And Miriam's metaphor of the dishwasher broken, and also the dimmer switch, the very common things. It's interesting that we often label people with depression without really exploring what depression means. You come in and see the doctor, we give you that label, and depression means all sorts of things to different people. It can be aloneness, can be a sadness, can be being at the bottom of a big pit. And often we don't explore the metaphor, we just whack them on the Prozac. And actually exploring metaphors and actually finding a way out of the broken dishwasher or turning up the dimmer switch is often the best way to restoring happiness.
So, well, let's find out how Miriam did that, because you're there in a pool of water with your dishwasher broken, and you say that you came from darkness into light. So how?
Well, it was a practice. It's almost like a muscle that you develop. So I did a variety of things. I cultivated optimism. I'm a learnt optimist. I was a natural-born pessimist, but I've taught myself some of the skills of optimism. I practiced gratitude, really appreciating the good things that I have in my life. And I learnt to savour, to really sort of slow down and intensively enjoy the good things. Meditation helped too, to sort of calm down the busy mind. And I very much focused on doing things that would put me in a flow of positive emotion. And it was a gradual process. It was very much like the dimmer switch. And sometimes you don't even realise that the light is coming on. But it was that practice that sort of flicked the switch in me.
And now you've learned all these tricks. Do you know how to flip yourself from the half-empty to the half-full mindset now? What's the quickest flip? Is it music? Is it patting a dog? What are the things that flip you quickly?
Two things. Dancing to music, okay. Putting on some upbeat music and having a good sing-along, and walking in the park. Actually, walking and talking is one of my favourite things.
But do you think, Phil, that you can teach, you can manufacture happiness?
I think some people are probably hardwired to severe clinical depression, severe mental illness that these techniques may help but won't completely flip. I think some people clearly do need medication and other stronger treatments. But I think a lot of us, sort of halfway down the black pit or with the dimmer switch turned slightly off, can be helped by this. I think it needs time and reflection and space to do it. And I think the commodity we don't have these days is time. We're so rushed and so pressurised hitting deadlines. You need time to read the books. You need time and space to reflect. I think you do need time on your own to then enjoy time with others.
Lucy.
To help yourself out, that you already need an immense amount of sort of social capital in order to get going, don't you? And I wonder how people who don't have that will ever kind of crawl out.
I don't know. My mum taught me a good thing. My dad, sadly, he took his life when I was 7. My brother was 9. And my mum was living in Australia because my dad was Australian. And she came back to England with us. And, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you, I guess. And she taught me that her route to happiness and contentment was to learn through that tragedy to be happy on her own, to learn to enjoy her own company and be happy on her own. And then that gave her the strength to cope with the bad stuff. And I think you can. I think there is a trick to learning to enjoy your own company, be happy on your own, and then you can spread to others.
I would say don't get into the paralysis of analysis. For example, I was someone who very much, every time I had a pleasant experience, I'd ask myself, but am I happy? Yeah. And instantly puncture it. You know, it's much better to just engage and enjoy and really savour.